Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today. My name is Jansen Brooks, and this is the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show, Saturday, October 8th in the year 2022. This is going to be a different show today because I'm breaking my own rules and thinking outside of the box. Today's show is going to be a show that is a tribute to one of our African-American poets, Paul Lawrence Dunbar. And Paul Lawrence Dunbar died at the age of 33 in 1906. He was born June 27, 1892. So he died really before the Harlem Renaissance, with people like, Langston Hughes and others. He was born just, 1872, slavery ended in 1865. So what is that? He was born about 7 years after, the end of slavery. So, he was really the first great African American poet and writer. And I tell you what happened. I was listening to a television show last night, and they mentioned him. What was that? Jeopardy. I was listening to Jeopardy. They mentioned Paul Lawrence Dunbar, and so I Googled him, and discovered that he was a fascinating individual. You know. And but I'm going to start off by, if you would like to chime in, you know, during this show, you can of course press the number one on your phone and you can chime in. This is a little bit different today. I usually have a guest, but I thought I would challenge myself to do something a little bit different today. So let me just start off by reading from Wikipedia a little bit about Paul Lawrence Dunbar. Paul Lawrence Dunbar was born June 27, 1892, and he died February 9, 1906. He was an American poet, novelist, and short story writer of the late 19th and early 20th century. Born in Dayton, Ohio, to parents who had been enslaved in Kentucky before the American Civil War, Dunbar began writing stories and verse when he was a child. He published his first poems at the age of 16 in a Dayton newspaper and served as president of his high school's literary society. Dunbar's popularity increased rapidly after his work was praised by William Dean Howells, a leading editor associated with Harper's Weekly. Dunbar became one of the first African-American writers to establish an international reputation. In addition to his poems, short stories, and novels, he also wrote the lyrics for the musical comedy In the Homie, 1903. This was the first all-African-American musical produced on Broadway in New York City. The musical later toured in the United States and in the United Kingdom. Suffering from tuberculosis, which then had no cure, Dunbar died in Dayton, Ohio at the age of 33. Much of Dunbar's more popular work in his lifetime was written in the Negro dialect associated with the antebellum South. Though he also used the Midwestern regional dialect of James Whitcomb Riley, Dunbar also wrote in conventional English or other poetry and novels, and is considered the first important African-American sonnet writer. Since the late 20th century, scholars have become more interested in these other works. It's unfortunate that we as African-Americans are really miseducated, because I know when I was in school, in literature, we never really got into, you know, people like Paul Laurence Dunbar. And we should have, really. Thanks to the digital world now, you want to know anything, you can Google it and get it pretty early. So just a little bit more about, and I'm going to read some poetry in a while, but I want to give you a kind of a background on Paul Laurence Dunbar. Paul Laurence Dunbar was born at 311 Howard Street in Dayton, Ohio, on June 27, 1892, to parents who were enslaved in Kentucky before the American Civil War. After being emancipated, his mother, Matilda, moved to Dayton with other family members, including her two sons, Robert and William, from her first marriage. Dunbar's father, Joseph, escaped from slavery in Kentucky before the war ended. He traveled to Massachusetts and volunteered for the 55th Massachusetts Infantry Regiment, one of the first two black units to serve in the war. The senior Dunbar also served in the 5th Massachusetts Cavalry Regiment. Paul Dunbar was born 6 months after Joshua and Matilda's wedding on Christmas Eve, 1871. The marriage of Dunbar's parents was troubled, and Dunbar's mother left Joshua soon after having their second child, a daughter. Joshua died on August 1885, when Paul was just 13 years old. So his father died at the age when he was 13. Dunbar wrote his first poem at the age of 6 and gave his first public recital at the age of 9. His mother assisted him in his schooling, having learned to read especially for that purpose. She often read the Bible with him and thought he might become a minister in the AME Episcopal Church. It was the first independent black denomination in America, founded in Philadelphia in the early 19th century. Dunbar was the only African-American student during his years at Central High School in Dayton. Orville Wright was a classmate and friend. Well accepted, he was accepted as president of the school's literary society and became the editor of the school newspaper and a debate club member. There's some other information I could read about his biography. And bear in mind, folks, this is kind of like last minute. I didn't really know that I was going to be doing this on the show today, but I was really inspired to bring this to light because I think that, you know, sometimes we can forget about a lot of things in our culture. But I'm going to read from a book that Paul Laurence Dunbar wrote that was published in 1896. And the book was called Lyrics of a Lowly Life. And this book is the book that really put Paul Laurence Dunbar on the literary map in terms of, you know, people listening to him, like Frederick Douglass and all the people, you know, he knew them. And it really launched his career to new heights. And a couple of these poems are kind of short. One of them is a little bit long. I don't know how long this will last, but this show is for an hour, so I don't know if it'll last that long. But I'm going to take a stab at it. The first I'm going to read is I think, well, like I said, these poems are from a book he wrote a best-selling book he wrote in 1896. This is in the 1800s. And so you have to understand, you know, the times that it was written in. But the first one is Ode to Ethiopia, Paul Laurence Dunbar, 1895. O mother race, to thee I bring this pledge of faith unwavering. Tribute to thy glory. I know the pangs which thou didst feel when slavery crushed thee with its heel. With thy dear blood, all glory. Sad days were those, ah, sad indeed. But through the land, the fruitful seed of better times was growing. The plant of freedom upward sprung and spread its leaves so fresh and young. Its blossoms now are blowing. On every hand in this fair land, swarthy children stand. Beside their fairer neighbor, the forests flee before their stroke. The hammers ring, the forges smoke. They stir in honest labor. They tread the fields where honor calls. Their voices sound through Senate halls. In majesty and power, to right they cling. The hymns they sing up to the skies in beauty ring, and bolder grow each hour. Be proud, my race, in mind and soul. Thy name is writ on glory's scroll. In characters of fire, high mid the clouds of fame's bright sky, thy banner blazing foes now fly, and truth shall lift them higher. Thou hast the right to noble pride, whose spotless robes were purified by blood's severe baptism. Upon thy brow the cross was laid, and labor's painful sweat beads made a consecrating chrism. No other race, or white or black, when bound as thou wert to thy rack, so seldom stooped to grieving. No other race, when freed again, forgot the past and proved them men so noble in forgiving. Go on and up, our souls and eyes shall follow thy continuous rise. Our ears shall list thy story from barbs who from thy root shall spring and proudly tune their lyres to sing of Ethiopia's glory. Okay, now I'll be the first to admit that reading that, you know, in this day and age, 2022, I didn't really understand, you know, what all he was saying. But I kind of get that he was kind of tributing black people for coming up, you know, in spite of all that they had to go through. When he said, be proud, my race, in mind and soul, thy name is writ on glory's scroll, in characters of fire, high mid the clouds of fame's bright sky, thy banner blazing foes now fly, and truth shall lift them higher. Well, that's, thou hast the right to noble pride, whose spotless robes were purified by blood's severe baptism. Upon thy brow the cross was laid, and labor's painful sweat beads made a consecrating chism. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. I hope Paul Laurence Dunbar will forgive me for my attempt at reading some of his poetry. If anybody wants to chime in, press number one on your phone, and you can chime in. If you got your favorite poem book, you want to read it, that'd be cool too. Okay, so this is from the same book that he wrote in 1896. We wear the mask. We wear the mask. We wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. This debt we pay to human guile was torn and bleeding hearts. With torn and bleeding hearts we smile and mouth with myriad subtleties. Why should the world be overwise in counting all our tears and sighs? Nay, let them only see us while we wear the mask. We smile, but oh, great Christ cries, to thee from tortured souls arise. We sing, but oh, the clay is vile beneath our feet and long the mile. But let the world dream otherwise, we wear the mask. So that was one of the shorter ones. But I don't know, you know, this is beautiful poetry that I don't say it's lost, because you can get it on the internet, but it just seemed like it would have been so much better to know this growing up, you know, that we had, you know, great poetry. And remember, this guy was born 7 years after slavery. He wasn't like, he was in the Harlem Renaissance, you know, where, you know, there was still a lot of stuff going on, but it wasn't as bad as when he came up. But now, this is one of the rather long poems. It's probably take a few minutes. But Dunbar's father fought in the Civil War on the side of the North. His father went from Kentucky to Massachusetts to join the military, and the colored soldiers were very instrumental in helping in the Civil War. You know, they don't really get a lot of credit for it, but they really did help win the Civil War. So anyway, excuse me. This is the last show, but anything can happen. But I'm going to read a poem. This is called The Colored Soldiers. Poem I never read before, and this is the first time I ever read it, but y'all bear with me. It's called The Colored Soldiers. It was published in 1895 by Paul Laurence Dunbar. If the muse were mine to tempt it, and my feeble voice were strong, if my tongue were trained to measures, I would sing a stirring song. I would sing a song heroic of those noble sons of Ham, of the gallant colored soldiers who fought for Uncle Sam. In the early days, you scorned them, and with many a flip and flout, said these battles were the white man's, and the whites will fight them out. Up the hills you fought and faltered, in the vales you strove and bled, while your ears still heard the thunder of the foe's tread. Then distress fell on the nation, and the flag was drooping low. Should the dust pollute your banner? No, the nation shouted, no. So when war and savage triumph spread abroad its funeral pall, then you called the colored soldiers, and they answered to your call. And like hounds unleashed and eager for the lifeblood of the prey, sprung they forth and bore them bravely in the thickest of the fray. And where was hottest, where the bullets fastest fell, they were pressed unblanched and fearless at the very mouth of hell. Ah, they rallied to the standard to uphold it by their might. None was stronger in their labors. None were braver in the fight. From the blazing breach of Wagner to the plains of Ostie, I don't know if I got that word right, they were foremost in the fight. of the battles of the free. And the pillow, God have mercy on the deeds committed there, and the souls of those poor victims sent to thee without a prayer. Let the fullness of thy pity o'er the hot wrought spirit sway of the gallant colored soldiers who fell fighting on that day. Yes, the blacks enjoy their freedom, and they want it dearly too, for the lifeblood of their thousands did the southern fields bedew. In the darkness of their bondage, in the depths of slavery's night, their muskets flashed the dawning, and they fought their way to light. They were comrades then and brothers. Are they more or less today? They were good to stop a bullet and to front the fearful fray. They were citizens and soldiers when rebellion raised its head, and the traits that made them worthy, ah, those virtues are not dead. They have shared your nightly vigils. They have shared your daily toll, and their blood with yours commingling has enriched the southern soil. They have slept and marched and suffered neath the same dark skies as you. They have met as fierce a foeman and have been as brave and true. And their deeds shall find a record in the registry of fame, for their blood was cleansed completely every blot of slavery's shame. So all honor and all glory to those noble sons of Ham, the gallant colored soldiers who fought for Uncle Sam. Wow. Wow. So, yeah, this is 1895 he published this book, and his father was one of those soldiers that fought in the Civil War for Uncle Sam. And I never heard of this song, so I'm just glad to get it out on the ether. Anybody, you know, might want to listen to it later, you can call the show. So there's another poem here, this last one. So he was, so wait a minute, somebody raised their hand here. Who is this? Yeah, calling the 510. State your name, where you're calling from. Hello?
Hello? Yes, sir. Hello?
Oh,
yeah. My name is, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello? Okay, that poem that you read, We Wear the Mask, you know, how, you know, back then, how, you know, black people wore the mask to camouflage how they really felt. We do that pretty much today, like with that code switching, like when you're around white people, you're a certain way, and when you're around black people, you're a certain way. When you read that poem, that's what it made me think about.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting you said that because you're right. It's the same today. And Paul Lawrence Dunbar, did when you were in high school and stuff, did you study him at all? Or
because you know,
I know
what?
I didn't.
I didn't really study Paul Lawrence Dunbar, but when I was teaching, and I can't remember all of the poems that I taught, but I taught my class poems by black poets, Langston Hughes, Paul Lawrence Dunbar, and when you read that poem, We Wear the Mask, it made me think about that. That's a, that is a poem that I taught to my elementary school children. Now, I don't remember, and probably I was introduced to some of that in high school. I'm sure I was, but I just don't remember. But I do remember, you know, like as a teacher, I introduced my students to Paul Lawrence Dunbar.
Right, right, right. Well, that's interesting because I knew the name, but I didn't really know about him, and I thought he was with Langston Hughes and all, but he died in 1906. at the age of 33. He was they kind of rode on his shoulders in a way. There's a lot on YouTube about that. That's where I really found out about Paul Laurence Dunbar. And that poem, "We Wear the Mask," that was one of his most popular poems. I'm gonna read this here and wrap this up. But he wrote one of his styles was black dialect, and I'm going to read this regarding that. It's called "The Banjo Song" by Paul Laurence Dunbar, 1895. And I'm going to take a stab at it. It's in black dialect from really the 1800s. So "The Banjo Song." "Oh, there's lots of care and trouble in this world to swallow down. And old sorrow pretty lively in her way of getting round. Yet there's times when I fear them, aches and pains and troubles all. And it's when I take at evening my old banjo from the wall. About the time that night is falling and my daily work is done, and above the shady hilltop I can see them setting sun. When the quiet, restful shadows is beginning just to fall, then I take my little banjo from its place upon the wall. Then my family gather around me in the fading of the light. Ease I strike these strings to triumph, eat they all is tuned aright. And it seems we're so nigh even, we can hear them angels sing. When the music of that banjo sets my cabin all a-ring. And my wife and all the others, male and female, small and big, even up to gray-haired granny, seems just bound to do a jig. Well, I change the style of music, change the music, change the movement and them time. And the ringing little banjo played an old heathen feeling time. And somehow my throat gets choky and a lump keeps trying to rise, like it wanted to catch the water that was flowing to my eyes. And I feel that I could sort of knock the sock clean off or sin, as I hear my poor old granny with her trembling voice get in. Then we all throw in our voices to help the tune out too, like a big camp meeting jury trying to sing a mouth or two. Ah, the others let out music, sweet and solemn, loud and free, till the rafters of my cabin echo with the melody. Oh, the music, oh, the banjo, quick and devilish, solemn, slow, is greatest joy and solace that a weary slave can know. So just let me hear it ringing, though turn the pole and rough. It's a pleasure, and the pleasures of this life is few enough. Now, the blessed little angels up in the heaven, we are told, don't do nothing all their lifetime. Certain play on heaps taps of gold. Now I think heaven be more homelike if we hear some music fall from real old-fashioned brand banjo like that one up on the wall. Yeah, so yeah, I know I destroyed that one, but I did my best. And this is the first time I've ever been reading this, folks. So, but I did want to really on this show today bring this up to date, and just so that we can remember people like Paul Laurence Dunbar, keep their memory alive. and to know that culturally they are, he's one of the ones that paved the way for later poets, really of all races. Like I say, he did a variety of poems. And then that musical that was the first black musical on Broadway that toured the country and Europe, he was the musical director for that. So, you know, that was in his own right. Music director, he wrote the music, I forget. But y'all can, you can Google him. And did anybody have any questions or comments? Not that I know a whole lot about Paul Leonard Dunbar or other poets for that matter, but if you would like to chime in, then of course be my guest. All right, well, for today we're going to be cut this show a little bit short. I just wanted to introduce Paul Lawrence Dunbar to myself, really, and to anybody who's interested, you know, in poetry, or you can always follow up by going to Google, looking up him and or other poets. All right, everybody, well, God willing, we'll see you next week. Everybody have a great weekend.